Kosi sikelele Afrika, malupa kamisulu pondolwayo, iza imitandazo yetu, Kosi sikelela tena lusapo lwayo. Stand and sing of Zambia, proud and free, land of work and joy in unity, victors in the struggle for their rights, we've won freedom's fight, oh, one strong and free. Friends, even though I can sing the Zambia national anthem and I can sing the South African national anthem, according to the Zambian law, I do not qualify to be Zambian and South African at the same time. The Zambian constitution does not have provision for dual nationality, that is double nationality. Even if you qualify to be a South African, British, American, Australian, you are not allowed to be South African and Zambian at the same time. In order to take up citizenship elsewhere, you have to renounce your Zambian citizenship. You have to let go of your Zambian citizenship. You have to give up your rights, your privileges, your responsibilities of being a Zambian. You will not sing the Zambian national anthem with pride and a sense of belonging. You will no longer lay claim to Zambian soil. And wherever you visit Zambia, you will be treated like any other foreign national who must apply for visa to enter the country where you were born. That is how serious it is. Zambians all over the world have been lobbying the government of Zambia to amend the constitution, to change the article on citizenship to allow Zambians to have dual nationalities. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 35, reading this passage, one would have a sense that Jesus is demanding us to completely renounce our families, to give up our rights, our privileges of being part of our families and follow him. Friends, this passage is not a lecture on planning or strategizing or implementation. This passage is about discipleship and the cost involved in following Jesus. Notice the wording in the following verses. Verses 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Verses 27. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. Verses 39. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. And three times in that passage, the words cannot be my disciple could be echoed. Therefore, to be a disciple is conditional upon paying the price or a cost. It is clear from this passage that Jesus is not presenting to us 101 discipleship or discipleship made easy or simple. On the contrary, Jesus is making it very hard, is making it difficult to follow him. It is not an easy road. Jesus seems to demand absolute, unquestionable, and undivided obedience from his disciples. You cannot be a citizen of this earth, taking pride in your rights here on earth, and still be a citizen of heaven. To be a citizen of heaven demands giving up your earthly rights and privileges. The cost is too high, brethren. Those who are earthly minded cannot please God. The cost of discipleship is tagged in this passage. Number one, hate your parents, family, and self. Two, carry your cross daily. Three, forsake all else. Let's go to Luke chapter 14, 25 to 26 again. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Why are the multitudes following Jesus? Is it because they love him so much? Is it because they are so loyal to him? Why are the crowds crowding Jesus? Why are you following Jesus Christ, my friend? It is no secret that the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was characterized by miracles. The sick were healed. The blind received their sight. Demons were casted out. The lame walked. The dead were raised from the dead. He multiplied bread and fed the hungry crowds. Christ is indeed the healer and the provider. Truly, we don't need to be rocket scientists to actually figure out why the crowds are following him. They did not follow him because they believed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They did not follow him because they believe he is the Savior of the world. They followed Jesus because of what they could get from him. When the going gets tough, the rest goes away. Only the true disciples remain. That day Jesus looked at the crowd and he says, I know the reason why you are here. You are here because the other day I made bread and you coming in crowds. Today you are not going to have bread. Today you eat my flesh and drink my blood. The teaching became so hard that they turned away and they walked. Jesus turned to his disciples and said to them, are you not also going? The words of Peter touches my heart. Peter said to Jesus, where can we go, O Lord? You have the words of eternal life. You need to get to that place, whether there is healing or there is no healing, whether there is bread or no bread. Where can I go? You have the words of eternal life. That is discipleship. Their needs or their need outweighed their responsibility. The gospel is not primarily about your needs. This is how the world has made up the gospel. It is what I want. That's not what the gospel is about. It's about my responsibility in following Jesus. The Samaritan woman, after having an encounter with Jesus on the wall, the Bible says she ran to the village and said to the men, M-E-N, plural, come see a man, M-A-N, singular. The gospel is not about men. The gospel is about a man. There are so many men in the world, but there is only one man that can change the world. We so often place man and his needs at the center of the gospel. Christ is the central figure of the gospel that we preach. The gospel is not humanism. Man and his needs. At this point you may say, Lawrence, does it mean that we can't meet or help the needs of others? No. Christ modeled it for us. He preached the kingdom and he met such needs that were present, be it healing or the provision of bread. In this passage, Christ is saying to the multitudes, your needs should not outweigh your responsibility in following me. This is need versus responsibility here. The gospel is Jesus, not your needs. Verse 26, he uses the word hate. The word hate your father, hate your mother, hate your family. The word hate is a strong word to be understood literally would be a little misleading. Especially considering the fact that scripture teaches us to honor, to respect, and to obey our parents. The word hate here means and should be understood as less. L-E-S-S, less. Our love for our parents, family, friends, yes, even ourselves should be less than our love for Jesus Christ. Verses 27. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. One day, you know, I'm hands-on. I do almost everything in the kitchen. I wash dishes. I cook. So one lady found me cooking for my family. And she said to me, Lawrence, you do that as a man? I answered, yes. Yes, I do. Why? She said, in my country, it is a very big shame for a man to wash dishes and cook. That is the work for women only. For some time, I laughed. I laughed at her broken English. She said, very big shame. But I understood where she was coming from. Today, I see Christians wearing jewelry, crosses as jewelry around their neck. Some wear the cross as a fashion statement. Others wear it for religious purposes. Wearing or carrying a cross has become some fancy, cool thing to do nowadays. Everyone has got some cross. But in those days, it was a very big shame to carry the cross and cross the streets to the place of crucifixion. Carrying the cross was not for good people, but for condemned criminals, outcasts, who deserved to die. Criminals who were so bad that they don't even deserve to die inside the city. They needed to die outside the city. It was a big shame if your brother is walking the street with a cross, is a criminal, is a bad person, someone you don't want to identify with. If you want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, be prepared to carry the cross and become a very big shame. Your family approval and the approval of our society is not important, but Christ. The cross is a picture of self-denial, self-sacrifice. It's a place of pain, loneliness, rejection, suffering. It may be okay to be ashamed as a man doing dishes and cooking. But like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness that is by faith from first to end. As the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. As I echo these words of Paul, I want us to know that power is in the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power, it is the power, it is the power of God. If you want power, it is in the gospel. True power is packed up in the gospel. Some folk look for power in holy water. So we have the old nation of South Africa putting water in a bottle and, you know, marketing it. And this is holy water, drink it. But it's not so bad, because I have seen holy brooms, anointed brooms. So the man who say, I have prayed for 40 days and fasted over these brooms. So when you buy the broom, you can sweep the demons and the witches out of your house. You can sweep all the bad luck out of your life. Now you are laughing, because you know better. Other people don't know better. They take it seriously. And so people are buying brooms. So there is power in this broom. I was in the streets of Lusaka one time, and this vendor was selling photos. And this is a photo of some prophet somewhere. And he says to me, sir, you must buy this. I said, but I know this prophet. He said, yeah. So I said, this picture, for what? He says, no, you put it in your car or in your house, then the demons, the witches, they can't touch you. I looked at him. I said, are you serious? Anointed handkerchiefs, oil, all these things are vanity and empty. The only power that can bring us to salvation is found in the gospel. And that is where we go, not in all these other things. Verses 28 to 32, it gives us an illustration. The point of counting the cost. He uses architectural and war picture here. So he talks about building a house, that one must first sit down and count the cost. You just played your lotto and you won 50,000, and you think you can build a mansion. And before taking time, you only buy a piece of land and put a little bit of the foundation, your money is finished. So before you build a house, you must first sit down and count the cost and establish whether you have enough money to start and complete the building. Otherwise, don't. So you need to ask important questions if you are building. Number one, what kind of a house do I intend to build? Now, I love houses. I love houses. You know, last time in Phoenix, they asked me if I liked soccer. You know, they have soccer. They are a soccer church. And I said to them, to be very honest, because I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be lying here, I don't do soccer. And I don't do cars. So, you know, when boys meet, they talk cars and they talk soccer. I'm out of place. But I love houses. I sit and watch. What is that American program? Makeover for houses. I just laugh and tears fall down as I look at the. So that, you know. So let me talk about. So you need to sit down and ask yourself important question. What kind of house do I intend to build? That is defining your vision. When do I intend to begin the building project? That is giving it a date, scheduling. Where am I going to build it? That's place. geographical position. Who is going to help in this building project? Is it the government? Because if it's in Kandla, then it's taxpayers' money. Who is going to help in this building project? That is human resource, manpower. How much will it cost? That is the bottom line, the cost, the budgeting. So Jesus is suggesting a principle of start well and finish well. And he calls it wisdom. A wise builder is not a man who starts well, but one who finishes well. Start well and finish badly is foolish builder. Scripture says, once you have started and you are not able to finish, the people that walk by, they look at that foundation, it becomes a laughing stock. He just got his 250,000 and he thought he would build a mansion. They laugh. They say, he's a fool. Therefore, count the cost before embarking on a building project. Hebrews says, he who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. When God calls you to preach the gospel, the call of God upon your life is that irresistible conviction that the hand of God is upon me. Like Paul, oh, unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Like Jeremiah, the word of God is shut within me. It's like fire shut up within me. I cannot keep quiet. I just have to bring it out. A man who tries to run away from preaching this gospel will soon find out, like Jonah, that there is no place in this world to hide. When you put your hands on the plow, you don't look back. If you are in gospel ministry, you put your hands there, you keep going. There are many temptations on the way. It's hard out there. Sometimes it's so difficult. You just want to give up, but you hold on. You hold on. You keep going. And it talks about the army. I never worked in the army. I know I'm Congolese, but I left as a child, just in case you're thinking I'm a child soldier. A good army does not consist of strong men or big numbers, assault weapons. No. A good army consists of smart military strategists who know that to win the battle, you must first win it at the planning table before you can go and win it on the battleground. Count your cost of going to war and make peace if need be. You don't have to go to war at any slightest provocation. It's foolishness to join battles or go to wars that you don't understand. I have seen among most of us Christians that we tend to go to war, the war that we don't even know. I do not want to be a partaker in other people's sins. Just because you don't like Jonathan, it does not mean that I should not also like him. I don't know the battle between you and Jonathan. Don't involve me. And so we're quick to go into battles without even knowing those battles. As a Christian, identify your battles carefully. Choose which battle is worthy to fight. If need be, die for it. Some wars are very unnecessary. They are just suicide. Verses 33. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. A disciple who gives up on following Jesus because the going gets tough is like salt that has lost its flavor. It's useless. In the world where everyone seems to ask, what can I gain out of this before I join? Jesus is calling us to be ready to lose, to give up family and friends for the sake of the gospel. When it became very clear that God has called me into gospel ministry, my childhood dream was to become an actor. I wanted to go to Hollywood. The plan worked out nicely. I said, when I finish my matric, I'll work under the mine, join the Kamenza Theatre Group. When I finish with the Kamenza Theatre Group, I'll raise money, go to South Africa, join one of these soapies, Generation or Isinding or something, act a little bit and make a name for myself, then via Hollywood and become a star. But you know, when God came into my life, the priorities changed. And at one time, the words of this song brought me to tears as I realized what gospel ministry was all about. It says, I will go just wherever he leads. Every problem my Savior he knows. He may lead me to countries where troubles surround. Even there he will be with me, I know. I promise to follow just wherever Christ leads me. That is what discipleship is all about. If today he says, Lawrence, Somalia, I will go to Somalia. If today he says, Lawrence, Iraq, I will pack my bag and I'll go to Iraq. Even if he says, go to a war-torn nation, I will pack my bags and I'll go to a war-torn nation, because it's not about me, it is about Christ. That is the cost of discipleship that we are talking about. It's not easy. Friends, just as you cannot be a citizen of Zambia and at the same time a citizen of South Africa, you cannot be a citizen of heaven and lay claim to your earthly rights and privileges. One cannot be a Christian and worldly at the same time. Count the cost, carry your cross, and follow him. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory for the ministry of your word this morning. And I pray today that allow this word to sink into our hearts, a seed planted in our hearts. Allow this word to change us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to be faithful to your word, to do your will. Father, we know that in this world there is trouble. We will face persecution and trouble, tribulation. But you have also said to us, you will be with us always. And we thank you for this comfort that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray now that you bless Christ Church Newlands, that you may bless this congregation, and that indeed they shall remain faithful to proclaiming the Bible-centered message. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.